After you listen to Vic, Cozzy and Limo, don't forget to buy your ticket in the St. John Christmas Home Lottery before midnight this Sunday to win big. Check out stjohnlottery.com.au. Vic, Cozzy and Limo, SAFM.
I went to a music festival on Sunday. I went to Grapevine Gathering down at Serafino at McLaren Vale. My daughter, who's 19, and her boyfriend were going.
Uh-huh.
And I got wind of the lineup, which included the Veronicas.
Oh.
This song slapped, as the kids say, on the day. So they're 19, and I would say that early 20s was probably the average age of the festival.
Did you, you probably would have looked like someone who's turned up to pick that kid up.
Quite possibly.
I was looking for them in the crowd.
I had a festival kid on that I was quite happy with. And
to me, you reek of undercover cop.
Yes, perhaps I may have had that look about me. But things got off to a good start for me and my ego because as we were walking in, I'm like, oh, this is not for me. But I walked in with Grace and the security guy asked us both for ID.
Is that right?
I could not have been happy. I hugged him.
Did you?
Which he probably didn't enjoy, the close physical contact.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, well, this, I didn't have ID. I don't carry my driver's license.
Well, your face is the ID, isn't it?
So Grace showed her ID and I went, I'm her mum. And he goes, yeah, okay. And I also had big sunnies on and I sort of lifted my sunnies and he kind of saw the laughter lines.
did he gasp?
And I went, yep, go through, lady.
Through you go.
Stand anywhere but here.
So I walked through with a bit of swagger. And then no sooner had I walked in, some 20-something guy who was a little bit cute came up to him and went, hey, your sonny's a dope. Oh, and I thought, well, I think dope is a good thing.
Was he trying to sell you drugs?
Yeah, I'll have to look that up on my young person word interpreter.
But I think that's a compliment. So I had a little bit of swagger. And then I, towards the end of the night, I was driving, by the way, so any comments that my behaviour might have been as a result of intoxication were untrue. I was a driver.
Right on.
Beck, did you see many other people around your demographic?
Mm-hmm. I would have been able to count on one hand the amount of people who I think were of a mothering age. Mm,
and that was Peking duck.
Did you connect with each other? You're the older crew?
Yeah, I had a bit of a chat to one lady who was about my age in the toilet line and we were having a carry-on about the time that people were spending in the toilet.
And at your age, you were there for a long time.
Yeah, so small bladder. So Grace, my daughter, said, get on Bram's shoulders a couple of times during the day. And I was like, no.
Hang on, Bram, her boyfriend.
So Bram's, yeah, he's Grace's boyfriend. Sorry, yes. And I was like, no, don't be silly.
This is why you're watching a band. It's packed everywhere.
Yeah.
And Grace says, get on Bram's.
And I had been saying no because I thought it wasn't age appropriate.
Yeah.
And then Peking Duck played their last song and they weren't doing encores. And I thought, it's now or never.
Yeah.
So Bram, the boyfriend, got down. I got up on his shoulders. It was a very close contact sort of arrangement. I was wearing a skirt. I felt a little self-conscious. I was up for about 30 seconds, then he put me down.
Well, Limo, you can go first. What do you think about this?
My main question here is just in sort of rough, vague terms, Beck, how many years of therapy do you think Bram will require before he's fully over this incident?
You're his potential mother-in-law and your thighs are wrapped around his ears. Mm.
It's
a bit icky.
No, you've made it icky. And now I feel uncomfortable. But after that moment, when I was feeling quite confident, I was dancing next to a guy who I was chatting to and I thought I had the moves and he said, do you need to go to the toilet?
Oh. What?
And I said, no, I'm just dancing.
I'm sorry. You look like you've injured your hip.
Get that funny feeling in the morning.
Bet Cozzy and Limo for breakfast.
So I'm at a set of traffic lights. Mm. Next to me at the lights is a dude driving a Ferrari. And he's just in the car by himself. Real midlife crisis vibes.
Yeah.
A red Ferrari?
It was red, yes.
They're always red.
Yeah. Do they come in other colours? I don't know. But anyway, he's in this red Ferrari and I looked across and there was not 1 ounce of jealousy in me at all. Jeez. I just looked at this bloke who was well and truly in his 50s and I thought to myself, how do you even get out of that car? In fact, how do you even get into that car?
Yeah.
I wanted to follow him if my RAV4 could keep up with the Ferrari. I wanted to follow him because I just wanted to watch him getting out of that car.
Sure.
Because I swear, at least every second time he gets out of that car, he ends up on all fours, crawling across the pavement, getting out of that car. Because it's just not appealing to me at all.
He would pull into his driveway and a hot young blonde would come out and help him.
I'd tell you, if I was in a car like that, I would have to call out to someone on the street. Can you come over here, please, mate? Can you just grab my hand and pull me out of this car?
You have to, like, call an Uber to get the driver to help you to get out of the car.
Yes, because I am not as flexible as I used to be.
Oh, Graham, now, she ain't what she used to be.
I am definitely not what I used to be. So I find it weird. Do you guys find it weird that a sports car is a midlife crisis car?
Mm. Yeah, I do. But obviously when you're young, you can't afford it. So that's the irony of it.
That is the irony of it. But I have a RAV4. Well, if I've been driving the RAV4 for about an hour, I need 20 minutes to stretch when I arrive at my destination. Do you know what my perfect midlife crisis car is?
What's that?
I've worked it out. This is what I'm going to get next. A maxi cab.
Oh, yes.
That is my dream vehicle right there. So if anyone's selling a maxi cab, call now, 13, 10, 16.
There's just something about a sliding door.
Oh, it's the sliding door I love. Just the lowering me out the back of the vehicle. All of it.
Perfect.
Get that Adelaide feeling.
With Bet, Cozzy and Limo for breakfast.
Saturday night, I took the kids down to Marion. Now, I've told you my favourite escalators in the whole of South Australia.
Marion Cinemas.
The Marion Cinemas one. The ones that take you up to the cinema. I feel as though you're heading to heaven when you go there.
Is it because of the destination or is there something specific about that escalator?
Mate, I think it's because they're a little bit longer than normal ones in Adelaide, but I think it's because I used to work at Shenanigans for like a decade down at Marion Shopping Centre and I feel kind of attached to the joint. And I used to go like there all the time. And now, because I don't live as close to there anymore, I don't go as often.
Okay.
So I took the kids to see Avatar. You know, like there's a new Avatar coming out in December. So they've re-released the old one. Oh. God, it's a good movie. You seen it, Morse?
Not in its entirety. I'm not really into sci-fi stuff.
Well, you seen it, Liam. It's a great movie.
Yeah, I know. I quite enjoyed it. Sam Worthington, from memory, has about 7 different accents in that movie.
Oh, true.
Which kind of bugged me a bit. Is that still the case, or am I imagining things?
He doesn't mind a long movie, though. We went in for an 8:45 session. We got out at, I think it was 11:20.
Oh,
it was massive. Yeah. Anywho, not what I want to talk about. As we're leaving Marion, the kids said to me, because suddenly it's a Saturday night and I've got the kids out at Marion at like midnight. Oh. You know what I mean? Like, and there's like people walking around and stuff. I'm like, oh my God, get in the car, let's go. As we go down my favourite escalators, the kids go, are all the shops shut? And I go, yeah, shops are shut. And they go, what's to stop you walking down there?
Alarms.
And I go, oh, just that little bit of fence. And
no, they trigger alarms in there.
Yeah, that's what I said. I said, I bet when you walk past that fence, the alarm goes off.
Yeah,
I know.
Wander Marion.
Oh, no, we're just thinking of a way to do over a shop. Which made me think, is Build-A-Bear still going? Because I remember when my kid, I think it was Matilda, was maybe about 4, we took her down to Build-A-Bear at Marion.
Mm.
Now, in case you're new to the concept, basically, you go and build a bear.
And pay $1,000 for it.
Do you? Yes. What?
Highway robbery.
It's highway robbery.
It's still going.
Sam and
still
I had a massive fight in Build-A-Bear because we went in and Matilda's building this bear, which when she got to the end of building the bear, I could have bought a real bear, like an actual, I could have bought a grizzly bear off Grizzly Adams and kept it in the backyard.
Wong Wong and Foonie.
I could have bought an actual, and I don't want to get too into genders here, but I could have bought a half-decent male panda from China, flew it to Adelaide just to give Foonie a bit of loving that she needs and get her pregnant so this city would shut the hell up about trying to get a panda pregnant when we can't.
Hang on, why can't you just build a baby panda bear? And then the job's done. Right
with a working appendage.
Yes.
I don't know. Seriously, Wang Wang, have a good hard look at yourself.
Come on.
I'm assuming it's him. Maybe she's not into it. And the other thing is, when you've got separate sleeping quarters, it's bloody hard to get someone pregnant. I'll say that.
Sounds
well, when, you, when you've got a mating window of, what is it, one day?
Yeah.
Every year?
Yeah.
That's a lot
sounds
of heat
like
on
me.
That day.
Get that funny feeling in the morning.
Bet, Cozzy and Limo for breakfast.
rent, mortgage, groceries, petrol, all covered.
Let's talk about Live Stress Free. Let's talk about Live Stress Free. Let's talk about stress.
SAFM's Live Stress Free in 2023.
Hello, it's producer Nicole, and I know that you want to live stress-free in 2023. The times to call Bet, Cozzy and Limo tomorrow morning are 6:45 and 8:45. Have 13:10:60 ready to go. We'll chat then.
The original Wog Boy is here at SAFM. Don't you know Wog goes around, comes around in the end. Wog Boy's forever. Nothing gonna stop him. Would you please help me welcome Mr. Nick Giannopoulos?
Yeah, Nico.
Hey, that was cool.
There you go, mate. Calimera.
Calimera, that was really cool. I love that little rap thing.
Mate, we'll send you a copy. That's from Zach, our audio engineer.
It.
Mate, the Wog Boys franchise just keeps going and going, getting stronger and stronger. You're back again.
Oh, well, mate, it's taken a while. It's one every 10 years or so.
Yes.
So, you know, if we end up doing the next one, it'll be Wogs on the Pension. Well, you know what I mean? I'm wrapped.
You've done very well. Wog Boys Forever out in cinemas this Thursday, starring again, of course, our guest Nick Giannopoulos and Vince Colosimo. But you've brought in this time, and let's be honest, they can probably thank you partially for their success, Sushi Mango.
Oh, yeah, mate. They're fantastic in the film. They're a great bunch of guys. And I found them on the internet at 16, put them in a stage show in 17. They'd never read a script, never been on a stage. And it was a crash course, you know, kind of crash course in doing comedy on stage. But let me tell you, they didn't sink. They did swim, and boy, did they swim. They're just quick learners, you know. It was extraordinary to see that incredible rise in terms of their knowledge and understanding of how it all works. And they're great in the film.
And it's called Wog Boys Forever. What's the plot?
Oh, here we go. The 10-second summary of the plot.
Your elevator pitch.
Oh, FM radio. I love this. Yeah.
You've just wasted 7 seconds, Nick.
Thanks, mate. I've been practicing all morning. All right, here we go. You ready?
Yeah.
And start the clock now. Wog Boys Forever finds Steve 10 years after smashing plates, doing the Zorba and Ouzo shots in Mykonos and dancing on the arm of a beautiful Greek girl, all alone, single, and driving a taxi. Things obviously haven't worked out for Steve the way he thought it would be. But as the Wog Boy always does, where there's a Wog, there's always a way. Most importantly, you can teach an old Wog new tricks.
Nice. I like it, mate. Most importantly, I see there's a version of Monopoly that's out now called Wogopoly.
Another plug.
Yes.
This is great. Yeah, no, the Imagination Entertainment approached me a few years back, and I actually thought it was a joke when they first rang me, and I thought, really? I said, yeah, they do sort of these Monopoly-type games with all sorts of things. I said, okay, all right. I said, no, we think it'd do really well. So I spent a bit of time putting it together with them, and, mate, I've been absolutely blown away by the, you know, I'm not a board game guy, you know, but there's a lot of people out there who are absolute board game buffs. Mm-hmm. Like, they collect these things, and this thing's gone bananas.
And, well, tell me, just for people playing along at home, Nick, give us a little taste. What's in the Mayfair spot on Wogopoly?
Yes.
Well, first of all, you've got Malacca cards,
right? Yeah, great.
Which are a lot of fun.
Okay.
And mate, all the places on the board are places that the fans will recognise from the Wog Boy films. You see?
Okay, yes.
Yeah. Just like being in the movie, only at home.
Only at home.
You know, Mario's Pizza Shop,
yes.
You know. Then get to Ziki Souvlaki Bar, you know. All the references from the movie. So if you've seen the movies and you're playing along, you get a good laugh out of that, you know.
And you get it. I love it. And there's a great, beautiful old car with Nick Giannopoulos on the cover.
Yeah. Oh, the Nick Giannopoulos token is the least favourite. Everyone wants the Valiant.
Right. I do. So get on to Wogopoly.
Brilliant.
And,
and this Thursday, Wog Boys Forever. Thank you, mate. Much appreciated.
Hey, thank you, guys.
Get that Adelaide feeling.
With Bet, Cozzy and Limo for breakfast.
Is there a random thing that you find a bit sexy? Okay. Now, we all know, you know, for example, that a fireman in uniform is sexy, right?
Mm-hmm. Keep your fantasies to yourself, Limo.
Is there a random different thing, right? And the reason I'm asking this question this morning, and we'd love to hear from you on 13 10 60. We celebrated International Coffee Day last Thursday at the OTR out at Hillbank. And we were driving back all together as a team, and we were driving past the Women's and Children's Hospital, and a nurse walked out the front wearing scrubs. Now, the scrubs, that's very plain, modest clothing.
Baggy.
baggy,
yeah,
blue,
just plain blue. Mm. And I said to the team, is
pull
it
over.
Just
you said,
what did you say, Limo? Would you like to say exactly what you said?
I said, is it just me?
Yeah.
Or do other people find a nurse in scrubs kind of sexy?
You were like, I was driving the vehicle at the time, and you were like a dog with its with its head out the window when the window was shut.
But I think also for me, there's something about the caring nature of nurses as well that's obviously very appealing.
Go. Saving lives.
Look after me kind of thing.
Yes, that sort of, I don't know, that safe, secure
but also,
nature of
I
a nurse.
I think Grey's Anatomy made scrubs sexy as well. Dreamy and McSteamy in some scrubs.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
For me, it is a man with a good vocabulary.
Yeah.
Like before in the last break, Limo, when you said something innocuous, I was like, ooh, innocuous.
Yeah.
Say that again with some more syllables.
Like just George Stanikian when you used to sit next to him at the desk. Now
when
there's
he used
a man.
To say Andrew Dimitriou.
Oh, didn't he? The Silver Fox.
Yeah,
God, he's still got it, hasn't he?
Yeah, a good vocab and in a message. A great use of an apostrophe.
Yeah.
I'm halfway there.
You see, I've been married for, I don't know, 15 years or something. I find everything sexy. You know what I mean? When you start giving up on life.
Sure.
Shut up. That's
Beck, you've reminded me. You know the movie A Fish Called Wanda? Jamie Lee Curtis's character is turned on by, is it the Italian accent?
No, French. French.
Yeah, but he speaks Russian as well,
Russian,
I think.
Oh, the Russian accent. Oh. Yes.
That didn't age well.
Rubles.
All right, 131060, give us a call. What are we asking, Leo?
What is the random thing that you find a bit sexy?
All right, Sally from Emerson Park's called up. Sally, what about you?
When a guy is reversing and, you know, they put their arm on the passenger seat and they just look so intense.
Jessica in Mount Barker, what is it for you?
Tradies in long pants and high-vis jumpers.
Mm-hmm. Wow, like a block-style Scott Cam.
Yeah, something like that.
What is it about that makes you go, wow?
I'm not too sure. I didn't used to. And then my current partner one day walked out wearing it and I'm like, yep, that's it.
And is it specifically the long pants as well and not shorts?
Yeah, definitely the long pants.
Do you know what my wife finds sexy? When I sleep in the front room.
For me, tradies, though, it's the competence because, James, if you're listening, my husband. I hang all the pictures in the house and change the light globes. Like, he's not a handyman. So if I see a tradie, I'm
you love it. You're all over it.
You could fix
me. Sometimes they're in your house for days on end. What about your husband? I mean, he loves bike riding. The Lycra and those clicky little shoes, does that do anything for you at all?
What do you think?
All right, let's go to Jess in Ranella. What's the random thing you find a bit sexy?
Green cargo pants.
Oh, yeah.
Right. And what is it about the green cargo pants, Jess?
There's nothing sexier than a woman who knows she needs a little extra storage.
Jesse, I'm wearing a cargo pant today, but it's a car key. Will that get you across the line?
Kevin in Cowandilla, what's the random thing you find a bit sexy, Kevin?
Mate, some of these girls in their glasses, that is just sexy.
What, like spectacles, mate? Is that, or sunnies?
Spectacles. Mm.
Yeah, righto.
Right, yeah.
It does make you look smarter when you wear glasses.
It does.
Perhaps not in your instance, Limo, but most
people. Oh, come on! That hurts! I look like a genius right now.
Yeah. Maybe it's those thick frames. Your glasses are actually heavy. When I've moved your glasses before on the desk, I'm like, wow, he carries that around on his nose.
I do agree, though, Kevin, and I think women in glasses are sexier than men in glasses. Again, sorry, Limo.
Yeah, because men in glasses makes you look well, like some people. But women look sophisticated and smart and sassy.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Let's go down south to Christie's Beach. Morning, Pete. How are you, mate?
I'm good, guys. How are you?
Ah, going around for a young fella, mate. What, I feel weird saying this, mate, but what do you find sexy?
Well, to be honest with you guys, I think a woman in a business suit, the business pants suit, I think that is elegant.
I'm with you, mate. If I'm driving around and I see like a businesswoman walk across the road, I'm just like, oh, come home and make some decisions. Like in a business sense, you know what I mean? Like, let's talk about interest rates and superannuation.
Sort out my tax refund.
Is it possible that whatever you say have as a partner, the opposite is really sexy? Is that possible?
Yeah, maybe. I think if you've got a husband who comes home in a business suit every day, that stops being sexy.
Well, that's your normal, isn't it?
Yeah, but if you've got a tradie and he dresses up in a tux for an event, you're like, hey, get over here and
fix this.
Bring this tux into my... Juliana from Seaton, what do you find sexy?
Believe it or not, Jamie Oliver's lisp. It always does me.
Oh, right.
A lisp, yeah.
So do you can't get enough of Jamie Oliver? Are you continually watching his shows? Or have you had to wean yourself off them?
I've had to wean myself off it, to be honest. Right, okay. No, I don't know what it is, but it's just his lisp just drives me insane.
Juliana, is it any lisp that you like or is it a thumb lisp?
Because he has a lisp.
Just his. And I don't know. I just don't understand. I just... have no words for it.
That's beautiful. That's something you and him share, together. Except he doesn't know about it.
Get that funny feeling in the morning.
Bet Cozzy and Limo for breakfast.
This is Breaking News.
This is where Rebecca Morse puts on her very best news reader voice and reads out popular song lyrics, and your challenge is to identify these songs by title and artist.
And there can only be one winner out of these two contestants, Chloe from Edithburg on York Peninsula. Good morning.
Good morning, guys.
And we've got Emily from Blackfriars as well. You ready to go, Em?
Yep, ready to go.
Let's do it.
All right, good luck. Names of your buzzers.
Breaking news.
The club isn't the best place to find a lover, so the bar is where I go. Me and my friends at the table doing shots, drinking fast, and then we talk slow. All right, I'm going to skip to the chorus. I'm in love with the shape of you.
Chloe.
Yes, Chloe.
Shape of You by Ed Sheeran.
Well done. Yeah, well done.
I was thinking in my head, I'm like, I know this.
1-0.
All righty, next one.
Breaking news.
There's a fire starting in my heart, reaching a fever pitch. It's bringing me out the dark. Finally, I can see you crystal clear. Go ahead and sell me out. I'll lay your ship bare.
What? Ooh, will you?
All right, Emily, you need this one. Come on.
Oh, my God.
I can't help feeling we could have had it all.
Oh, it's Emily.
Yes, Emily.
Emily,
it's Adele. Oh, yeah. The title is escaping me.
Emily.
No.
Chloe, for the win, do you know the name of the song?
Not off the top of my head. Can I get to it a little bit more?
Well, the next line is kind of the chorus. So it's Rolling in the Deep.
Yeah. Rolling in the Deep. Oh, okay.
Adele, everybody. It's great Adele. Song. Yes, of course.
All right, so this is the decider. Mm-hmm. Let's go.
And let's also just say here, if you get it wrong, the other person wins.
Yes.
Okay?
Yes.
Good luck, everybody.
Breaking news.
Any other day, I would call you. I would say, baby, how's your day? But today, it ain't the same. I'm going to skip to the chorus again on this one. Say my name. Say my name.
Chloe.
When no one...
Yes, Chloe.
Yes, Chloe.
Say My Name by Destiny's Child.
Yeah! Well done, buddy.
Hey, you got it.
Get that Adelaide feeling.
With Bet, Cozzy and Limo for breakfast.
Dex Dips.
On Friday night, the SAFM team were among more than 20,000 South Australians who went to Adelaide Oval to visit the historic first AFLW showdown. Was the score ideal for Port Adelaide? No, we didn't manage to kick a goal, which was disappointing. But I got goosebumps as the girls ran out to the fireworks, the cheers of the crowd, and so many young girls in that crowd watching their heroes. I thought it was a great moment for AFLW. Then Steve Price comes along with a column in the Herald Sun saying high school boys are better to watch than the AFLW players, that the AFLW competition is substandard and overfunded. He, of course, is a regular panellist on the project, and last night he doubled down on his views.
Again yesterday, you had a one-point score only from one of the teams, and the crowds are simply not going. You had a crowd... about 2 weeks ago, 540 people only.
Because also, look at Friday night, though. They had 20,000 at Adelaide Oval.
Adelaide's an exception in this for some reason. There's nothing else to do in Adelaide, so they're going to AFLW, clearly.
Mate.
Seriously.
Mate, champ. Do you know what? Bagging Adelaide, it's almost hard to get offended by it. It's low-hanging fruit. It's like people think it's funny because other people bag Adelaide. It shows you haven't been here in a long time because we have heaps going on.
There's only two types of people that bag South Australia, those that have never been and those that have never left.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just a very boring old comedy trope.
I know, isn't it?
To say there's nothing to do in Adelaide.
Okay.
It's really, really dull. Open your eyes and there's actually a million things to do in Adelaide.
Anyway, I'm not going to spend any more time indulging him on that because South Australians know that we're the best city in the world. But in terms of AFLW, yes, the quality is not up there from the men's. But I saw girls on Friday night who were trying their guts out. They were not shying away from any contest that I've seen men's players shy away from in the past. They are still learning the skills. This is the fifth season. And for me, the important thing is those girls in the crowd who may have only ever played netball and wanted to play football and didn't have a path, now see these women as professional athletes and they have a pathway into that career.
And that is the main thing. Like, because of AFLW, my daughters play AFLW, women's footy. Mm. And I love going and watching them on a Friday. Mm. I think it's great. Now, if that hadn't been around, then they wouldn't be doing that right
now.
So that's great.
100%. And only this season are you really getting your first intake of women who have played uninterrupted Aussie rules footy through their life. Because prior to that, everyone in the AFLW, at some point had to stop playing because they couldn't play with the boys anymore. But now it's your first uninterrupted. So once this sort of generation comes through, you'll see the standard improve exponentially year on year on year.
And Steve Price has never, as a man, been told you can't do something because you're a girl. And that's I never had a pathway to play AFL. I probably couldn't have because I'm a bit of a wuss, but I'd never had that option. You know, the other really important thing about AFLW is putting more women into AFL clubs where they haven't had a great history of culture and respect for women. And now there's a women's footy team, there are female coaches, and we're getting more women into AFL, and that can only be good for the culture of that sport.
The challenge they've got is crowd numbers and how they keep them up.
Would you think Steve Price bagging the quality is going to help crowd numbers? Shut up.
No, but it is really up to kind of everyone that's supportive of all the things you speak about to actually go to the game. That's the one thing that people can do to make a difference. Because, you know, on Friday night, tickets were $10 each, kids under 18 free. So the AFL and the like are doing everything they can to make it accessible and easy. If it's not consumed by the general public, then it will be a lot harder for it to be successful, just from a pure business sense, whether that's right or wrong.
Yeah, but sometimes things are about more than business. They're about culture. But yes, we can shove this down his throat and we can buy a membership of your AFLW club, whether that's Crows or Port, and get your bums on seats.
And the benefits of the AFLW, Beckham, I'm sure you'll agree, extend way beyond what we see on the television. As you say, the community groups and football being played by women in suburban clubs everywhere is just so good for local communities, so good for the people who've wanted to play Aussie rules for all these years. And it's going to take time before the AFLW is the same standard as the men, or as what the Pricey might consider good enough to attract big crowds. But we've got to remain supportive and we've got to get behind
it. Pricey, if you don't think there's anything to do in Adelaide, don't come.
Get that funny feeling in the morning.
Bet Cozzy and Limo for breakfast.
Everyone listening right now, I want you all to ask yourself a question. Would you describe yourself as shy? Around the room, Rebecca Morse.
No.
Limo.
Definitely.
Mm. Yeah, I would say I'm pretty shy.
We learned that about you last week, that you're an extroverted introvert.
Yes. I don't even know what that means.
That's right. I love getting on stage, and I really enjoy being the centre of attention on stage. But in life, generally, I am more of an introvert and definitely shy.
Would you rather get on the stage, or are you happy when you get on the stage, or happy when you get off the stage?
No, I'm happier on stage.
It's good when you get off after an MC gig or something. Anyway, on the weekend, I was with my daughter, Matilda, who's 14, and a friend of ours, who Matilda doesn't know, by the way. And we had a couple of cars, and I said to, we're driving somewhere, and I said to Matilda, look, you jump in the car with our friend, I'll take this car, and I'll meet you there. About probably 7 minute trip. No worries. Do that. So, and then as I was driving, I thought, oh, Matilda's in a car with effectively a stranger. You know, they know each other well enough that it's obviously safe, but effectively a stranger. Anyway, some time passes and Matilda and I are now driving home about 6 hours later. And Matilda says to me, Dad, you know, when I was driving in the car with Marie, and I said, yeah, yeah, yeah. She goes, it was really weird. I go, what do you mean? She goes, well, Marie didn't say anything. And you know, I started to think to myself, wow, Marie's really shy. And I said, oh, did you think that? Did you? She goes, yeah. And then as further we got in the trip, I thought, wow, Marie is really, really, really shy because she's not said anything.
Talking.
Then Matilda said to me, but then, Dad, I thought of something. I said, what? She goes, I thought maybe I'm shy.
Because she wasn't talking either. Definitely the adult's job interact with the child.
I just loved it because then we had a whole conversation. I just went, well, maybe you are. Are you shy? And it was just a beautiful moment of, out of that situation, who's the shy one?
Who is the shy? I love her self-awareness, though, to think that it could be her in the moment. Is she shy? Would you say she's shy?
Well, now I don't know.
Come on, you've got to go, what music do you want to listen to, Tilly? How's school?
Do you reckon as a kid, though, you get sick of the same questions? Because I'm guilty.
How's school? Oh, that's your go-to.
How's school? Where do you go to school, mate? Or this stuff. What footy team do you go for?
But the problem is I've never once in all this year received a straight answer to the question, how's school today? Not once.
And can I say this? To the kids that are listening, when you ask a kid a question, how delightful is it as an adult to get a full sentence answer or have a question back? Oh, I'm very well, thanks. How's your day? Have you been busy? Like, isn't it wonderful when they talk back? Well, I say that unless they're your own kids and you just want them to shut up.
Get that Adelaide feeling.
With Bet, Cozzy and Limo for breakfast.
It's TV Tuesday. Get it?
God, I hate this game.
Oh, Beck.
Hey, come on.
Up and about.
Let's get around it. It's a short week, everyone. This is a competition whereby we play little TV tunes, like themes. You've got to guess what show it's from. Now, the three of us don't know the answers to these questions. John Bleeby has stepped in to be the quiz master.
Morning.
Morning, John. You want to take it away, mate?
Yeah, well, absolutely. Let's go with the scores.
What are the scores?
Cozzy's on 13, Limo's on 8, Beck on 7. Maybe that's got something to do with the fact that you don't like.
Throw my toys out of the sandwich.
Every week.
I can't believe I'm winning this. It baffles
me. It's incredible. All right, we're going to go with we're going to go with 80s TV show edition.
Oh, Limo, okay. This is your time to shine, babe.
Oh, that's
you
unfair.
Were 20.
No.
Well, because he was like 20 years and we were like 10.
Hang on, but this is where, Coz, you watched a lot of television in the 80s.
Oh, true.
Yeah.
I had no friends.
That's right.
Not like now. We've got two.
Tomo right. and Lawson.
Here we go. Namesy buzzers. 80s okay. TV edition. Good luck.
Cozzy.
Batman. Batman is incorrect. No. Yeah.
Let's game show vibes.
Let's play a little bit more for Beck and Limo. More daytime, this one.
God,
it's really newsy.
Yeah.
Oh, man. I want to say, like, it's definitely not Days of Our Lives. Is it the Bold and the Beautiful?
No.
How much shot do you want to give them?
Fresh shot. No.
Is it a game show? No. Young and the Restless.
No, it's Dallas.
Dallas.
Damn it.
Remember that? Remember Dallas?
Yeah,
Dallas.
Hair.
Well, I can tell you the Who Shot JR episode.
That's it.
Was, I believe, for a little while, the highest rating TV episode of television ever. Before it was beaten by the finale of Cheers, which was subsequently beaten by the finale of Seinfeld.
Wow, okay.
Yeah. Fun facts.
Yeah. Yeah. All right, here's the next one. Okay, names he buzzes, names are you buzzes. No scores so far.
Limo.
Yes, Limo. Limo.
Three. Different strokes.
Oh, no. Cozzy and Beck, you're still in.
It's
not Full House, Cozzy.
I'll take the clue and the rest of the music.
I know it so well. I can't.
That's all the music
there
is.
What about the clue?
It's a comedy.
Play it again, please.
I used to watch this all the time.
Is there a better clue than comedy?
No. This is killing
Give
me.
Give it away.
This is killing me.
Michael J. Fox.
Oh, yes! Damn it!
Family Matters.
No, you got it wrong.
Family Ties.
Family Ties.
Never watched it.
Michael J. Fox. I knew that so well.
I used to watch it all the time.
What's the concept of that? Or just a family just not
it
getting
was,
along? Yeah.
Michael J. Fox was the kid who was really financially savvy. And
They did serious bits as well on that show.
Yeah.
All right, here we go. Last one.
God, it's been a terrible competition.
Whoever gets this wins.
Okay.
Whoever gets this wins.
All right. Come on.
Good luck, everybody. Namesy buzzers.
Cozzy.
Yes, Cozzy.
Sadness. Let me answer the question. Days of our lives.
No one wins.
We didn't buzz in second.
Well, we weren't
you
there
know
yet.
That I said Beck first, we and I knew sons and daughters too.
God, it's in the song.
No one wins. Beck, Cozzy and Limo. SAFM.